This is KPDO 89.3 FM serving Pescadero and KZSG 90.7 FM in San Gregorio and KPDO.net streaming live. And so my guest today and every Friday morning is Michelle Dragony of Coastside Buzz, the most amazing news resource on the coast. And we get to do a weekly Coastside Buzz report. And this is June 7th, 2024, and we've got lots of things to talk about. So, Michelle, take it away.
So let's start with Coastside events. There are lots of events to peruse on the Coast Views Music and Entertainment Guide. It has all of the music from Pescadero to San Gregorio, even Loma Mar, and to Pacifica every week. It's a PDF, so it's a really great way to quickly scroll through things. Actual calendar itself, Blue Ocean Brewing, they're down here in the harbor. Bach Dancing and Dynamite Society, they always have great world-class jazz. The Odd Fellows, which is just on the outskirts of Half Moon Bay on Main Street, they have the Mirth Tones Choir. It's like 18 people that sing a cappella. It's pretty sexy stuff. Great venue for music, beautiful room. It's like going back into the early 1900s. Abundant Grace's fifth annual Bike Hut Classic fundraiser is just about to begin. This Tinitus Creek ride is starting soon. If you ride bikes and want to help Abundant Grace, which help homeless people and people who are trying to get rehoused, this is an event for you. There's also a party at the end of the event, I think sometime in July, but you can check the calendar for that. Oh, and there's the countywide fireworks buyback that mid-June, and you can check the date for that. It's going to be held at the Half Moon Bay Fire Station at the south end of Half Moon Bay. So nobody wants to have fireworks in Pescadero, I'm assuming. We don't want fireworks in El Granada, Moss Beach, or Monterra. So I'm hoping to get this word out so that people can get rid of their fireworks. Ironically, Pacifica still sells fireworks because so many nonprofits, that's how they make their money, and they haven't been able to shut that down.
Well, we do have a few events I'd like to announce too. First of all, the La Honda Fair starts tomorrow. It's June 8th, and there will be a kids parade that starts at La Cuesta's Pond. The Cuesta Pond is behind Applejack's, and the kids will be marching over to the fairgrounds, which are in that garden area behind the Pioneer Market and La Honda Fire Brigade. And then we also have a big community space celebration. Here it is. We are really getting a community space. We're going to have a park plaza, and people from the county will be there. Everybody's welcome. There will be food. There will be music. And it's to get one thing that they want to find out is what do people want to see and do in that park? And what do people want to call it? What's the name going to be? So that'll be next Friday, June 14th from 5:30 to 8. And, you know, free food. So bring your own chair. They don't have any chairs. And then the only other thing to mention is the farmers market, which we now have every Monday from 2 to 6 in Cindy's Lot, which is, you know, halfway down Stage Road on as you approach the community church. So those are our events.
Well, I'd like to get those two up on my calendar. So we'll make that happen over the next week.
Okay, great.
Because people from Half Moon Bay love to go south and, you know, have a good time.
Sure. And we want the tourists to enjoy the community space, too, if they want to come. That would be great.
Absolutely. So for news, the fact-finding discussion has led Cabrillo Unified School District to offer a 2% salary increase over 2 years. The Cabrillo Unified Teachers Association dissents that increase. They want a comparable compensation package, which means they want more money compared to the other school districts in the area, like, say, Pescadero La Honda. You guys get a lot more money per student than we do. You can read both of CUSD's and CUTA's report and dissent on Buzz. It's very interesting stuff, actually. Most people don't understand how these two entities, the school district and the teachers, talk to each other. They have actually a fact-finding person who's a moderator, and they go back and forth. And then this offer was twice as much as what they were offering before, which is just 1%. I think the fact-finding guy did not like the finances weren't, and particularly for their health care, it wasn't as well organized by CUSD. And he also was a little perturbed that TUSD did not have the new incoming superintendent at the meeting. And so it's a lot of stuff's going in flux. We're going to have a new superintendent and we're going to have a new financial guy.
Wow. New superintendent is a big deal. That changes the face of the school district. You know, here, Amy Wolliver has been the school district superintendent for probably 20 years. She's been really a steady force, but I have a feeling as things change, and right now they're doing a community schools initiative, as things change and they want more and more inclusivity and they want more and more representation from the Spanish-speaking community, I really think they're going in the direction of changing more of their administration to Spanish speakers. So we'll see what happens. Yeah.
Exciting. And now for the first buzz post for the 2024 election cycle. The major mission of Coastside Buzz is to get people to click, learn, think, act, vote, and run for office. This election for the Half Moon Bay City Council has candidate openings for District 2, which is Harvey Rarback. I think this is it'll be his fourth term if he gets elected. And District 3, which is Joaquin Jimenez, and that'll be his second term. Interestingly, City of Half Moon Bay has no term limits, which is very rare in the public agency world.
Yeah.
Filing dates are from July 15th to August 9th. Filing is done with the city clerk of Half Moon Bay. Links are in the post. Most of the county elections are done through the county, except for the city of Half Moon Bay in our area. And I guess you don't have elections.
We don't have a city.
You don't have a city. But yes, we'll get to PMAC in just a second. Mm-hmm. Speaking of CSD, do you have kids in school? Are you a grandparent? Are you a teacher or a retired teacher? Are you a concerned citizen? You may want to run for office to become a trustee for Cabrillo Unified School District. Areas B, Hines, and areas D, Lane are open, and the filing dates are also July 15th to August 9th. Links in the post give you the breadcrumbs you need to inquire to file through the county registrar. Buzz has created some really good maps that have been approved by these entities for these two elections that show who is in the district and whose terms are up. We've gone from being out large to districted, which means there's a smaller geographical area that each candidate runs for. This comes out of Los Angeles. There were community groups, the Latinos and the Chinese, and they were pretty coalesced geographically into one area, well, two different areas, and they wanted to be able to create their own districts so they had more power to be able to and influence to be able to be on the Los Angeles City Council. And so that was a statewide requirement, which has trickled to our small area. And districts are new to many. A lot of people don't even know that we're district here on the coast side. So that's one of the reasons why I'm trying to take the time to get the maps up at the library and say City Hall. That would be great. Maybe a couple of stores. Stay tuned for maps of the Midcoast Community Council, Coastside County Water District. We have Montero Water District. We have Coastside Fire Protection District. But PMAC, MCC is a elected body that has very little funding, and they have seven people on their board. And I know PMAC's being asked to go from seven people to five people, and I can see the MCC, the Midcoast Community Council, will probably have that type of thing. There's three people that are up for election, and if we only need five people, then maybe it takes a little pressure off from having to find seven people, because that's just two more people that, you know, you have to, that have to commit to all the work and stuff like that.
Well, I do think that this is new and different that the county is asking for direct elections this time. They don't want just an appointed succession, which has been going on now for decades. They want a real viable opposition so that people can actually get involved. So I think for our community, it's going to be a bigger deal. And this coming Tuesday, June 9th, there will be a PMAC meeting where the county will be there to describe what they're asking PMAC to do. So that's a meeting that starts at 6:00 at the community church. They meet in the back at the social hall. And I think if you're interested in running for office in Pescadero, the Pescadero Municipal Advisory Council is going to be up for election. Also, our La Honda Pescadero Unified School District Board, some of the people are terming out and will be up for election. I believe there are two people. One of them is Mary Windrum, and she is really trying to actively look for a candidate who's a Spanish speaker to replace her. So there are a couple of people who will be up for election on the school board here too.
I really like the fact that she's going out and looking for people actively. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that is a drawback for PMAC is your map does not, and your website does not indicate which districts the people are in. So maybe that can be fixed. And maybe I can help you do the map. The map's already been done by the county, but what I do with my maps is I actually put the name of the person in the area or the district that they're in so that people can just look at the map, see where they live, you know, acknowledge who's running for office and whose terms are still continuing. So it makes it a little bit easier, but it's hard. The city of Half Moon Bay has not done any outreach for the election at all yet. So, July's coming up.
I know.
And it's right during summer, you know, and people don't have their eye on the ball. So I'm doing my best to get the message out.
I think PMAC will have the same issue because they're missing representatives from District 2, from District 4 potentially. So District 1 is a huge area that includes downtown Pescadero and almost all the way out to Lomamar. Then there's Lomamar is a separate district. And then like Butte-No Canyon and Gazos Ridge is District 3. And so there is somebody, a lot of people from District 1 and hardly anybody from the other districts. So that's all going to have to change.
Yes. Well, the county's going to invest in an election. I mean, and it's expensive, not so much, say, for the Harbor District, it's $900,000 because it's countywide. For the city, it's like about $15,000 per candidate because they got to print the ballots and all that kind of stuff. So it'll be interesting if PMAC gets redistricted, because the way the redistrict happened on the coast side in Half Moon Bay and the Midcoast was it's census driven. And it doesn't sound like your districts are census driven.
No, they're geographical.
So that might be something to talk to Supervisor Mueller about. Do you redistrict before the election? I don't know if you could do that. It takes a few meetings to get that done, but it certainly will make it easier for people if you have more people in the districts that you're trying to have, you know, that are trying to run.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. Good to know.
So I know you guys haven't really expanded down there because that's not the mission of the county, but in Half Moon Bay, we are expanding. We've got 880 Stone Pine, and now the Half Moon Bay Architectural Advisory Committee just reviewed a proposal for the Hilltop Mobile Home Park's expansion of 32 new mobile homes. A map is included in the post. The post is on the north side of Highway 92 as you come into town where the goats used to be. It's actually across the street from where 880 Stone Pine is as well. And I just love mobile homes. They're also really called manufactured homes. But that was my first home when I was 20 years old. I bought a manufactured home in Mountain View. Mm-hmm. Now it's condos, but it was great. It's 20 by 40, two bedroom, two bath. And as a 20-year-old to own your own property, you know, just starting out, it's a great first home. Mm-hmm. So it's something I think is a solution potentially in Pescadero. Especially
I do too.
You have enough water. Mm-hmm. So you got to house those farm workers.
I think it's a great idea. And unfortunately, the county's approach to our area is nothing growth inducing. They didn't even want the CSA 11 extension to for people alongside that extension to be able to hook up to it, because that might be growth inducing. So they have a mindset that has to change for our area if we're going to have any housing here. Just FYI.
Yeah. And I think Supervisor Mueller is very conscious of the need for housing. He's been very proactive down here. In fact, 880 Stone Pine is actually a county project, even though it's on Half Moon Bay land. So I think there's all kinds of things that might happen in the next few years, especially if you get new, fresh people on the PMAC who are hungry, maybe some farm workers on the PMAC.
Yeah, would be great. Yeah, right. We have a new group called Del Campo Al Cambio that is an activist group of farm workers, which we so need. And they are choosing what they want to address. Of course, they're working hard during the day. So what can they have to pick and choose what they're going to work on. But housing is a priority for all those people, especially during, you know, in the situation where people are living in flood zones and things like that. So, hey, it just might happen.
And you also have people down there that represent for the Farm Worker Advisory Commission. That is an appointed body. And I know they get paid $100 per meeting so that the farm workers are compensated for their travel and for their time for the meeting. So that might be something that has to happen as well. I mean, it's a big problem with all the public agencies. Most of the people are retired and older people, and very few young people are on any of these boards because, well, they have to get childcare. They have to, you know, figure out all these types of things and take time off work, et cetera. So, Supervisors supported the HEAL project and the San Mateo County Farm School with $1.2 million to continue to educate low-income students with farm field trips. They have volunteer days at the farm in case you want to help. The farm is on the perimeter of the Sea Haven housing development in North El Granada. Do you have anything like, I know you have lots of farms and farmers down there, but at the Pescadero schools, do you have your own like little mini farm?
No, there are gardens at the elementary schools, but we have something called Pie Ranch down here. You may have heard of.
Yes.
And
yes.
They have a lot of field trips that they, you know, sponsor kids for. And then Via Verde over in San Gregorio does something very similar. So we do have nonprofit organizations that host field trips to show kids how food is made and how you make pies, for example, out of the food you grow. But we don't have that particular thing that you're talking about. I don't think there's a parallel to that right here.
We have a very active FAA Farm Workers of America up at the high school. We have two gals that went to the high school. They're actually from farm families and they're running it now. So I don't know if you have that kind of thing happening at Pescadero High School.
But no.
There is a future for farming. It's not going to be the same as it is today. Mm-hmm. I think Twisted Fields down there, I'm forgetting his name, but he is on the...
Tybold?
Yes. Yeah, that's his last name. And there is the Agriculture Advisory Committee meeting that's this Monday, and he's on that. And there's a bunch of young farmers that are on that. I post it fairly frequently because it's just really cool to see the young farmers have new ideas.
Mm-hmm. Veronica Mazariegos Anastasio is one of the... Her husband, his last name is Cole, I think, is on that too. Yeah, yes. All these bright, young, organic farmers have, you know, begun to speak out and try to get the regulations to be a little bit easier to deal with so that they can be profitable and can grow. I just heard that their farm, Brisa's farm, is doing extremely well. They have a contract with Marin County's food harvesters or second a harvest, and they don't even have a CSA box this year. They're sending all their food to Second Harvest, a variety of Second Harvest.
So they actually applied for an FDA grant for a food hub, and the county bought Bay City Flowers.
Yes.
And there's some thinking about, well, if we had local food processing coming out of Pescadero, that's... Mm-hmm. One of the things, if you go to...
You've talked about it for years and everybody's, you know, it's funny how hard it is to move these things forward because we have the traditional farmers and then we have the organic farmers. But I think the organic farmers are finally getting their voice and that this may really happen. So,
yeah, that's right. I think there's a lot of potential for farming in the future. I mean, one of the things that Twisted Field does is he's working with robotics and things like that. Mm-hmm. That's all, I mean, that just means different kinds of jobs, but jobs.
I think they use drones or something for herding their goats. they have
That's cool.
Yeah, they have very innovative things going on there.
I love technology.
Yeah.
Speaking of technology, and I know you don't have a sewer down there, but wouldn't it be nice to have a package plant?
Yes, yes, it would.
I know we were pretty geeky about sewers. Do you know where your poop goes? our sewer authority, Mid-Coastside's lead operator, Aaron Gilbert, grew up on the coastside. And he recently went to a convention and the new anaerobic digestion technology digests organic waste cellulose. It also creates a crop fertilizer. It also creates methane energy, and it literally creates a power positive sewer plant. PG&E is a huge expense for utility agencies, and so this is a big shift in thinking. Funding to get it done is another never-ending challenge, but Gilbert also discovered that there's different ways to fund with loans, which is something that they haven't really done, but there are some very low interest loans through the federal government. And SAM can't apply for grants, but the other agencies like Montero Water and Granada and Half Moon Bay can. So, but to make big changes in, at the sewer, we're in a inundation zone. So there's a lot of research going on as to whether or not we need to move the whole thing elsewhere.
Huh, because of the flooding.
Because of the flooding and the sewer plants nationwide were all put at the lowest point because they're all gravity fed.
Yeah.
But you're finding more force mains, you're finding less clay pipe and more HDPE, which is a polyester.
We have that for Bitno Canyon's water distribution system is HDPE pipe. And it lasts 55 years guaranteed, and it's like flexible in an earthquake. It's a good thing.
Yes. It's a little more to install, but over time. The reason why the sewer plants nationwide are not modernized well is because the federal government paid for the installation of sewage plants in the mid-70s with the Clean Water Act. And then they just walked away with no funding. And honestly, the sewer, even with as many people as you have, there's a certain top-out point as to what you can charge for a sewer fee. And it's just really something that the federal government needs to do better. And I know the big build back better, there is money, but it takes time and money to go after grants.
That's
and
right.
On the coast side, because of the population being in large houses, they're perceived as making too much money to qualify for the grants. So we don't get grants very often. So it's a challenge.
We are an underserved community, but we don't get grants because we don't have the staff or the people to do it, because
that's
you have
exactly
to spend money to get money. And, you know, we don't have that staff to do it. Although I think Irma Mitten is really working on that. That's one of her objectives.
And there are people in town here and there that are grant writers. And with their experience, I actually was a grant writer at one point, and it is really tedious work, but it's the way you make money.
That's right.
If you're mining for gold, today it's mining for grants. You got it.
I think that's one reason Amy Wolliver is such a successful superintendent. She is a grant writer. She gets money for that district and always has, and she's pretty good at that.
Yeah, if you have one superpower when you're hiring somebody, do you write grants? Do you have experience writing grants?
Exactly.
Got a great story for you guys to read. The Half Moon Bay History Association's Coastside Chronicles posted an article called Artichokes, the Story of Three Kings, a Boss, and a War.
What?
And, you have to read it. There's several people that work volunteers for the History Association, and they spend a lot of time going through old documents, putting together these stories. I think they're just wonderful. I include a link to the Half Moon Bay History Association and their Coastside Chronicles feed. They also have quite a few videos, some of which I recorded for Coastside Buzz. But it's really good stuff. And they're always looking for volunteers. If anybody wants to come up to Half Moon Bay and tell some Pescadero stories, we've got a beautiful new museum.
Really? That's so great.
Yeah. So, and then you can have lunch in Half Moon Bay and then go back home.
Now, where's your museum?
It is on Johnson Street, right behind the city hall. It started with a small jail that dates back to early 1900s, I think like 1911. And it turned in, I think in the 60s, they closed it as a jail. And then it was like a social services office type thing. And then it lay fallow for a long time until the History Association was able to get in there. And we had a couple of ringers that were grant writers. And if you go in there, all of the, and there's a lot of volunteer time. Again, it gets back to retired people. They do have time. They have knowledge. And the jail itself is beautifully curated. It's got like, you walk in and it starts with the Ohlones, and then it goes around until you get to, you know, the railroad and stuff like that. And then the museum out the back is a real museum. It's not, it was the old Johnson barn, and that we always thought it was like a barn for horses. No, it was a barn for cars.
Oh, who knew that?
It's a hermetic.
I've got to go to that. I didn't even know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we'll have lunch when you come on down here.
Okay.
They It's hermetically sealed, so it's self-contained with air, because there are a lot of their artifacts. You know, we don't want them rotting away and things like that. So it's all light controlled as well. It's a real deal. And I know they're continuing to look for some more grants. We also ask for donations for anybody who has money that would like to give it to the History Association so that they can manage the artifacts. They have to hire a person who's a curator who does sort of museum quality curation. Lastly, this is a little geeky. Multiple coastside public agencies and the governor are in opposition to a potential ballot initiative, 1935, which will limit agencies to fund essential services. It will require every time you raise a fee that you actually have to go to election.
Oh my God.
This might be a bit geeky, but if it's on the ballot, you might want to learn why to vote no is a good thing. It'll be for all Californians, including people down in Pescadero. The post includes the people who are behind the initiative, and it's also in Supreme Court for California, and I think it's going to come back in the middle of June, so it may be stopped there, but stay tuned.
Yeah. So 1935 is an actual ballot initiative? Is that like...
Potential.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
It's got a longer number. They like to, once it goes through a certain level of organization. Again, if you go to the website, there's links that explain things. And I was just on the Montero Water Sanitary District meeting last night. The attorney was trying to explain it, and it's a real humdinger. Everybody in a public agency has said things that this is the killing of public agencies in general.
Wow.
And it's people who, I forget the name of the group, but they basically want to control development themselves, and they want to make development cheaper. They're developers. They want to make development cheaper, and thinking that if they can control the costs and keep them low by not being able to raise fees, that the development will be cheaper. And it's a little bit what MidPen and Mercy do. And they come in, they build the buildings and they get super density bonuses, but they don't do infrastructure. And I think I've mentioned before that Moon Ridge, it flooded because the county didn't do the infrastructure for stormwater runoff that it should have done after it was built. But it wasn't MidPen's job to do that. So people have to understand that we have to have public agencies funded properly. So.
Yeah. Okay, well, this has been fascinating as usual, and I will be seeing you again on June 14th, and I hope you come down for the community space celebration that night here in Pescadero. It's free food offered by the Taqueria Los Amigos.
I love food.
Yeah, fajitas. Fajitas are being served. So
thanks for the invitation.
Yeah. Okay. So thank you so much. And again, we're talking with Michelle Dragony at Coastside Buzz. If you want to get more information on all of these things, go to coastsidebuzz.com. And we will have this on the air this weekend at all the news hours. So thank you so much.
And you can subscribe for free. And the music comes out on Wednesday and the news comes out on Thursday every week.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
I really appreciate it.